welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 247. How is everybody doing? Lots of chat in the chat. Oh, was this because it was open early? Right. Hello, Simon. How are you doing? Hello, Jonathan. Oh, poor Jonathan. Always the bridegroom. Not the groom. Poor Jonathan. We got here. Simon's just randomly checking. Randomly checking? You must be feeling better if you're randomly checking. Excellent. Oh, there's a bromance going on here between Simon and Jonathan. Bless. But now they're speculating if Mike's been abducted. Sort of. Sort of. He nearly got abducted in the park. That's a whole different story. But no, not quite. He's webinaring next door. He did have two, but one got cancelled. But then I'm not sure that was actually today, in which case, got to wonder why it's 7 o'clock and not six. But there you go. You reckon Princess Lola is calling? Oh, Princess Lola. Mad dog. She's taken to demanding her treats while lying flat out on the floor. Now, if I don't make her stand up for the last one, then she'll just consume it where she is and then want to keep eating. So I make her stand up for the last one. We have to do paws and everything for the big stick. And then she heads off with it. That was the plan. But then she toddled back in and wanted more. So, yeah, she's been, it's cold and she's a growing girl is what she tells me. Good to hear that Simon is indeed feeling a bit better. Hello, Tracy. Hello, Paul. And I'm up to date. Lola's abducted Mike. Oh, well, she would. Yes, because she wants to go out. I think it's because it's autumn. Not that she particularly likes the cold, but there's fewer leaves on the trees, which means she can see the squirrels, and she's pondering how to catch a squirrel. Some of these squirrels are very tame now these days. I think people are feeding them. In Maya's youth, they were not tame at all. And I think my mum used to wind him up that they were vermin and vicious. Vicious vermin. New app on setup. Clear VPN. I think I've heard of ClearVPN. I think they sponsor some of the channels on YouTube that I see. What do we use? EncryptMe. Used it for probably about 4 years now. The worst thing about it, it works perfectly except when it doesn't. And when it doesn't, you need to log out and log back in again and then it's fine. But the beauty of it is that you can have it on as many apps as you want. The other one we looked at was, is it Tunnel Bear? It was in the day. And that one had a limit on devices. So there was no way I could go for that. This limit on devices is getting very, very, very annoying. I heard tell Jonathan, can't for life me remember which app it was, but that an app had been added to setup and then taken away again. That's not good. Are you still using Ulysses? Let me know that. I've used Ulysses for a long time. Mike's just got into it. You're very happy with NordVPN. Now, NordVPN definitely sponsor a channel that I see on YouTube. There's something like a free month and 70% off. It's a ridiculous deal. I'm assuming it's new customers only. So I've definitely heard that. Limit on devices getting beyond a joke. Tell me about it. I was actually thinking, in relation to something wholly different, that I'm sat here and I'm thinking, right, if I want to install like iWork, then you've not got a problem because it's free. And the problem with iWork, it's free. So you've got no comeback or support or anything. Just imagine you've got an issue in iWork. Something used to work and it doesn't now. One thing that happened about a year ago, they broke the navigation. So inside Keynote, you can put text or a shape or a graphic and you can have it linked to another slide within the presentation. They broke it. Who are you supposed to see about that? I mean, yes, you can go to Apple and there's this, you know, contact Apple. So you put it, you type it in, or, you know, this is my bug report, and it's all neat and tidy and everything's perfect. Here's what you do to replicate it, blah, blah, blah. It goes off into a black hole and you never see or hear from them again, which I don't like. That's not support, is it? But then have you got a leg to stand on because it's free? That could just be me. Oh, Notion app and the brain are not showing up in Clippers on the iPad. Not even listed in the more section. Ah, Deb might be able to help you there. Got the same problem with Things. Things did let me know that, though. So let me have a look. Things gave me the information that I needed to make them work again. Right. It's something to do with permissions that got changed in the last update. Yes, I'm still me. Right. Let me in. I think it was in the release notes for Things. And it's something to do with permissions. So let's get to Things. Not more updates. Oh, this is getting ridiculous. I updated this iPad this morning. There's now 38 updates. Is one of them Things? No, I need the old version of Things. I need the old release notes for Things. Nope, Notion doesn't say a thing about it. So let me find Things and its release notes. Maybe I could do that from somewhere else and get straight to it. Things. There we go. Come on, show me the release notes. What's new? Right. After upgrading, you might see an authorization request to allow Things to use the local network. Things uses the network to notify other devices that they should pull changes from the cloud, blah, blah, blah. So that permission thing, I didn't actually see it. But it goes on and it says that you may not see the widget thing, what you're talking about, where you use the send to. And what you need to do is open the app. So I open Things. Go into the settings. Now in Things, there is actually a setting. Which one is it? Yeah, you can actually enable something, but going into the settings should actually be enough. So then I went back to where I was and I tried to send the thing to Things and Things had appeared again. So could it be that? It seems to me they've added extra permissions onto the Clippers on iOS. And you now need to actually have opened the application that's going to receive the clipping. Now, the only really, really narky part of that, let me go to a website and try and send it to anywhere and see if it's there. Mine actually is there. But what I was seeing was once I'd gone in and I'd given it permission and everything, and then I'd gone away from the iPad for like a day and then I come back, it needed repermissioning like every day. So I was pretty annoyed at that. You don't know if iWork is free anymore. It's included in the price of a very expensive iPhone, iPad and Mac. I totally agree, Jonathan, but in their mind it is, and therefore they owe you no duty of care with it. So if something breaks, it breaks. I mean, how many times do you hear people say, which just I find totally amazing myself, it's free, what do you expect? And then the next breath, the same people say, what, I've got to pay for it? I would actually much rather pay for something and have some degree of comeback. But the worst thing is, it's not even that as far as I'm concerned. The worst thing is when you've got decisions to make about something and you literally do not know what is the right decision to make because you cannot possibly know all of the factors. So, for instance, DevonThink is amazing. I love DevonThink. It's now an integrated part of my workflow that I wouldn't have an equivalent for. But the licensing is insanity. If you remember me mentioning it, you can have two activations for a single purchase. Well, I don't have a problem with that. I think it should be like Creative Cloud and Office. You can have it installed as many places as you like. And then where you are, you activate it while you're sat at it. Now, you can do that with Office all day, every day. So if I use Office on 3 iPads and 4 Macs in a day, it's fine. Eventually, it just says, can you log in? And I'll log in and be like, all right, you're fine. And off you go. And it's seamless. Even Creative Cloud, and how often have we criticised Adobe? It's 2 activations, but you can have it installed as many times as you like. And the important thing is not have it installed as many times as you like, but you can activate multiple times an hour if you want. Now, obviously, if you were activating 50 times an hour, there things would be said. But at reactivating a machine twice a week, that's not a problem. But the DevonThink one, not only is it activated, not only have they screwed up my activations, not only all of that, but you've got to wait 3 or 4 days before you can reactivate. I mean, on what planet is that acceptable? Did I say to them, there's the money, but you can't touch it for 3 or 4 days? I'd rather it went subscription. I know, sacrilege. But I could use it as and when I need it. So when I move from this ailing Mac, I'm a bit concerned, do I have to like deactivate it a week in hand or what? And I've only got it activated once and it's already screaming at me and telling me that I don't have any activations left when I clearly do. I mean, I could get round to sorting it out, but that's the point. That's DevonThink. Then I come on to Keynote. I spent a day and a half fighting Keynote to get my slides back. And I actually said to Mike, I'm beginning to wish I had a Sinclair Spectrum where everything just worked. Because it doesn't just work anymore and you've got so many decisions to make. Yes, Hazel came out on Monday, Paul. It's now a totally different beast. It's a standalone application. Do be careful with that, because I was wondering. As a standalone application, they're saying it can do more. But they're also talking about you can only have it on 2 machines. Now, I thought a personal license was a personal license on all your Macs. So I've got to investigate that. But yes, it can do a whole lot more. Shiny new icon. All these icons look the same now. I said to Mike, there was an icon years ago for an app called Transmit, and they'd just done a redesign of it. So they showed you the old one, and then they showed you the new one, and they showed you the logic behind it. And it was really nice. It was lovely. And that app has been the icon has been the app icon for probably 3 or 4 years now, at least. Good night, Jonathan. And the attention to detail on it was stunning. But now there's this Bigglesing thing where all the icons have got to look like, oh, iOS icons. We're not going to merge iOS and macOS. No, of course you're not, Timmy. You keep telling yourself that. Whatever you're drinking, stop doing that immediately. I think it's drain cleaner. So this Transmit have got a new icon, as have many, many other apps. And I looked at this icon and I thought, God, that's awful. It's now got this purple stripe background on it. Don't even ask. It looks like a humbug. A humbug crossed with a tin of purple paint. Why? Just to have this frame on it. So I'm not a great fan. It feels like the icons that I've seen that have been Bigglesed seems to have been Bigglesed in 5 seconds. It's like, oh, and we need a new icon. Oh, stick a purple background behind it. Doesn't look good. Stick some stripes on it. That's fine. We'll do that. They don't feel particularly well designed. So I just think at the moment, every time I look at a piece of software, there's always a trade-off. There is literally always a trade-off. You know that we make the mails that we send you as reminders in Scrivener. And there's been an update to Scrivener. I hadn't got round to installing it. This came out yesterday. Didn't have chance to install it because I'm in the middle of sorting the mails out for the week. Thankfully, I didn't install it. There's some kind of bug in it that's intermittent. It's an intermittent fault. If you install it, it may or may not open your file. But for a lot of people, it's just crashing. It will not open a file, but it will open a different file. It just won't open that file. which is doubtless the one you need. I read this thing on a forum, and this girl said, like, it won't open the file. So I uninstalled it, I got rid of all of the playlists and the settings and the configurations, and I reinstalled it. Now it's working. And this guy came back and said, yeah, that's a known issue, but they can't work out what's causing it and why it affects certain people and not other certain people. That's not a good start, is it? So I said to Mike, I know you don't update with the frequency that I do, but there's an update out to Scrivener. Don't go there. It's not broken, so we're not attempting to fix it. That's the kind of thing I mean. Because if you run Scrivener and it says there's an update, you're going to say, OK, then, and just click it. But if you do, it may or may not open your files. And if it does, great. If it doesn't, because it's intermittent with individual files, it's not a global, it isn't running for Fred. No, it depends on the file. And they can't find a commonality yet. And I'm thinking, if it won't open a particular file that is the file that you particularly need, then all I did was update the software. And now I've got a crisis on my hands that I may have to uninstall everything and reinstall everything. Is this how it was supposed to be in 2020? I mean, obviously the way 2020 is going. But you know what I mean? 10 years ago, like, if you said to me now, how will things be in 2030? I'd like to think better. Better, faster, amazing. Which is how I would have felt in 2010. But now I'm in 2020. It's like I think I want to go back to 2010. Do you guys not have this kind of problem with software? Is it just me? I mean, I even have problems trying to make a decision which way to purchase. Do you purchase subscription or do you purchase outright? And then there's this one where you can get that and that one that you can get something else. One of the apps I looked at, there was a free version. And then there was like what could only be described as a pick and mix version. Which was, if you want to allow network access, then you need that bolt on. And if you want this, it's this bolt on. And I'm like, do you know what? Life's too short. Just give me a 30-day trial and then ask for some money and I'll give it to you. But I don't want to have to sit there and start calculating out because, I mean, it takes time. And the number of apps I get to use in a week, it takes far too much time. But that seems to be the way it's going. I mean, who is this benefiting? Because it's sure as heck not benefiting me. Everything takes longer. I totally agree, Simon. There's very little advantage to using the latest version of anything. You just end up being someone's beta tester. That takes me right back to what I said last week, that, you know, these coders these days, they don't seem to have any pride in their work or discipline. It's just release it, release it, release it. If it doesn't work, we'll fix it. You know, I think Kim said if I did my dental work like that, exactly, you wouldn't like that. If it was, you were going on holiday and you get on the flight and it's like, yeah, we know we're a wing missing, but don't worry about it. You know, we'll sort it out. We'll put a patch on in flight. You'd probably get off. So either by having the attitude that they're having, one, I couldn't work like that personally. I'm not saying I would have to sit on it for 5 years until it was perfect, but certainly, you know, the medical thing of first do no harm comes into play. And if you can't open a file or if it corrupts a file or in Keynote's case, it is eating slides. They are gone. They're not based on the same slide master. It's happening in multiple presentations. It is random. It's not just ones with images on. It's not just ones with text on. It's just completely random. I haven't got the time to fix it. That's my problem. If I was only using, you know, if I was making one presentation every 6 weeks and I was like navel gazing the rest of the time and not doing anything else, then maybe I could sit down and sort of fight it. I haven't got the time. I have not got the time. The last one said it won't save the file. And that went on for 23 and a half hours. And you were getting the most stupid error messages in the meanwhile. The file cannot be saved. You may have lost data. Thought, right, fine. That sat there. And then when you try and save it, this other dialogue popped up that you couldn't interact with at all. It's the dialogue you see when it's downloading something from iCloud. So it's a progress bar with a cross at the end of it. And it sat there with that for a while and then came back and said, can't download the file because it isn't uploaded. I'm sitting looking at it thinking, yeah, right. There's just no words for the stupidity of this at times. And I haven't got the time. I really haven't. So I'm going to have to go. Luckily, we have December. And December's like plotting and planning time for the year. I mean, we have a whole 4 weeks off. So I think something like 35 days, something like that. Luckily, we use that to get ready for the year. And not last year, the one before, was when we set Notion up properly. It was last year. No, I set Notion up properly last year. That's right. Or is it? Did you have the first ones in? I did, 2018. 1, 2, 3. Yes, that'd be right. 2018 it was. So we sorted it out. And then that carried us through the year. Yes, tweaks were made to it. But ultimately, when we had the time, because we didn't have to particularly produce content every day or train every day, we sat down and we sorted it out and it carried us through the year. But stuff where it just breaks. You should be given money for this. I'm telling you. You're a beta tester. But just an unpaid slave of a beta tester where now you can't do your job. So, Scrivener's not been updated. I'm going to have to update certain things. But I've also noticed something that Tracy mentioned, which was, you know, does it still support High Sierra? A lot of these apps are sneaking in as the last line of the release notes now requires and then a higher operating system than it did yesterday. Which again is another reason to be thinking about, oh dear, do I need to think about moving up an operating system level or two? Which version of Lightroom were you talking about, Tracy? Because I was having a look at a site I use. And I think it's one version up from where you are. If only I could spell, I'd be there much faster. Right, let's get the site up. Let's put Lightroom in. No, it doesn't like that either. Oh, come on. Still thinking about it. Let's try again. Right. Right, we're there. Excellent. Right. So two things to check now as well. One, that it's Biggles compatible. And two, that it's Apple Silicon compatible. Right, Lightroom 6 standalone. Lightroom 6. Did you know that's actually supported on Mojave? Which is one up from where you are. But it's a question mark on Catalina. So it's a site that I always use. Can we actually go through and have a look at it? Just that app? We can. Awesome. Has anybody put any comments? Yep, somebody said the app version, 6.12, which bizarrely is two tiny points back from the very, very latest, which is 6.14 by the look of it. According to that, it works on Mojave. So you'd need to test if it works any higher than that. But according to that, it works on Mojave. So if you did need to just bump up one, according to that, it works. You're disappointed in Apple Silicon and the need to go through all the Rosetta Universal shenanigans again. So am I, Simon. The first time round, we were incredibly lucky. I went to that Adobe do and it was Lightroom that I saw and it only ran on the Mac. And it was in beta and it was going to be in beta for months. You know, it really wasn't going to be out for almost a year. And there was no Windows beta. And that's why I bought an iMac. The app was just so amazing because if you can imagine 2006, there was nothing like it. Now you've got options, but back then, nothing like it. So I rang up. We on the way home, I got a magazine and I'm looking, flicking through this Mac Mag, and I wasn't expecting to find Gordon Harwood's computers. in Derbyshire, where I'd bought my Commodore Amiga. And I thought, oh, wow, because they were great. Their service was top notch. It was a really quirky company. They've been bought out since, so they're not known as that anymore. But Gordon Harwood was actually a chemist, and the shop was a chemist shop. And in the computer boom of the early 80s, this chemist shop decided to start selling computers, things like Spectrums and Amigas and Amstrads. Amstrads. Or the Oric One, from their upstairs room. And by 1998, this upstairs room had turned into, like, probably more profitable business than the chemist. But to get into it to buy a computer, you had to walk into the chemist shop and then go up the back stairs to this computer department. It was amazing. But the guys there really knew their stuff. So I'd been there and I bought my Amiga, and I needed it to work with a printer that I had. And this printer was a daisy wheel. It sounded like a herd of rampaging buffalo. But the copy that you got off it was totally stunning. And a guy had made me a cable for it, but I didn't know. This was when I had my Spectrum. So I had a Sinclair Spectrum powering this industrial Epson daisy wheel printer. It's unbelievable. So for me to be able to do that, I needed to have a cable made for it to work with the Amiga. But obviously, even back then, they didn't give you quite that level of detail in terms of what pins are wired to what. But these guys worked it all out. And then I said, well, I need to ring this guy in Birmingham who made me the cable. So I gets on the phone to this guy and I said, I've got this diagram, could you possibly make me another cable? I'm upgrading. This was like 18 months later. And he did. Bless him. And I said, I'll send you a check. It was that ridiculous. So he said, I'll send it out today. He said, you know, it's only a fiver, but put it in there. So I'd had really good experience with Gordon Harwood. So that was why I went down there. But the thing I didn't know, on the Saturday when we picked it up, the Intel chips had only just come out on that Monday. So if I'd have been there a week earlier, I would have not had a clue what I was buying. That there was, the only thing I knew about Intel chips in a Mac was that Kiefer Sutherland did the VO for the ads on the telly. That was it. So we were very, very lucky. But Mikey B, who used to be the third MacBytes presenter back in 2007, he bought his the week before. And he had all of the Rosetta stuff to go through. So the biggest issue that I had back then with dual binaries, do you remember X Slimmer? Simon might remember X Slimmer. It was an application that you pointed at a dual binary and it stripped out the version of the code that wasn't for your machine. So it slimmed the apps down and it could rip out other languages as well. Can you imagine the ability to edit an application's internals? Apple would have a fit these days. But it really helped because we all had smaller hard drives. So I have very good memories of that. But the Rosetta thing, one, the dual binary apps were bigger, which X Slimmer solved until it stopped being supported. But for the people who had PowerPC chips, you know, their machine was virtually useless sooner than an Intel one bought a week later would be. I think Mikey B's went out of support, like after, say, 3 years, and mine was still going strong after about six. It made a massive, massive difference, which gives me a problem now thinking about Intel Macs versus the new Shiny. But given my experiences this week, I'm thinking it is probably more right that I do that, because at the moment I need to know that I have a stable computer platform for 3 years. What is going to happen, I don't know. There are things that only run on a Mac, simple as that. But increasingly, because I'm in a browser for things, so Notion's in a browser, Roam's in a browser, my Google Mail is in a browser, although I have a client, I could just as easily use a browser, my calendar's in a browser. I can listen to my audiobooks in a browser. There are very increasingly few applications that are Mac only. Back in the day, Scrivener was Mac only, but now it's not. Devon think he's Mac only, and all of the Rogue Amoeba apps are Mac only. Unless something significant happens in terms of stability, I might have to go work on Windows because I cannot have Keynote eating my slides. It's as simple as that. I just can't. It takes too much time to fix it. If there's a snafu, great, fine. You know, you can't predict it. You know, the power's gone off and I've lost five slides. Fine. But this is repeatable but not predictable, which is the worst kind as far as I'm concerned. So I can pretty much see I'm going to have to pay more attention to Windows just in case, which I remember doing about 3 years ago and it never actually came to it. So that's where I'm at now. I'm hoping it doesn't come to it because, you know, the last thing I need is more computers in the room. You know, like, that's the Mac one and that's this one. I just want stuff to work. And the hardware's an issue in terms of Apple are changing things. And everybody's so giddy, aren't they, about the M1 chip. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. Fastest Apple chip ever. You do realise this is going to be the slowest Apple silicon chip ever by March. But people are dashing out and parting with money like it's going to be the best one forever and ever. Amen. It's going to be the slowest ever chip by March. Because they'll have to make them faster for the bigger machines. But I think given the state that mine's in and the fact that Mike needs Intel to run Windows, we'll probably get two of the Intel iMacs, the last gen Intel iMacs, and worry about Apple Silicon down the line. Which is, it's a damning indictment, I think, of Apple. I don't want to have to go through that again. I really don't. Right, let's have a look. The app itself is 64-bit. The installer and registration thing is 32-bit. So it'll work in Mojave, but not in Catalina. Yeah, if you use that other app, which you've probably done, what was it called? Something 64. It was a free app. It checked everything, and that, Tracy, was true about the very latest version of Creative Cloud, literally until the week Catalina shipped. If you ran this 64 app, Go 64, it's called, from the people who make default folder. You run that Go 64, well, I did, the week before Catalina, and it was pinging back that a lot of these Adobe things were 32-bit. But like you say, they were supporting things. But that's not the point. Talk about cut it fine. They cut it very fine. It was about a week. And I think now everything on there is 64. And obviously on my machine, this one's Catalina, so everything must be 64-bit. Save some disk space. It did, Simon. You know, you're talking about how whatever the size of your app folder was, you save 50%. So it was worth doing. But that's the level of control I would like with an operating system, for me to choose whether I want to do that or not. Another thing that I did, which seems so stupid, but honestly, when I tell you the full story, I wanted to have the default icon for zip files. I think I wanted it. The lime green zippy icon, not the white can't see it icon. And you could go into the app and change that. And I did a YouTube video on how to do it. And I thought that's a bit niche for YouTube, but whatever, I'll put it up anyway. Yeah, probably get about 6 views. No, it was like a minor hit with people who wanted to do the same thing. And then down the line, you couldn't do that. Apple stopped you doing it. And then I started to get snottergram comments saying, you can't do this in this version of the OS. Can't you fix that? I'm like, I'm not Apple. But they just want to lock down and lock down and lock down. I mean, installing Catalina was bad. It was a bad experience in terms of cancel or allow. Do you want to give permission for this? Do you want to give permission for that? It was literally the Apple advert, the cancel or allow advert, writ large. It was. It was a complete parody of itself. If I thought that was bad, the Pickles thing is a million times worse. basically, if you touch the keyboard, you've got to give it permission 17 times. And it slows you down. And that's the point. I need to be so in tune with it in the same way that you wouldn't expect Lewis Hamilton to win the Formula One thing on a bike. I can't be expected to complete the amount of work that I need to get through in a week if I spend 20% of my week saying allow, allow, allow. And it is actually at that level. It might calm down once you've used it for a month. But at the moment, most of my day is, what's it? And you have to read it, don't you? Because otherwise you're giving permission to something that's like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't like it. It's horrific. Right, so Tracy says, if I install Catalina over the top, it'd be okay, but it can't install as new. Oh, this is not good. This is not good. And Simon doesn't even believe the speed claims. I've no idea if they've been independently verified. And it is weird that they kind of say it's three times faster. So you've got a slide in front of you and it's got a huge three on it and an X next to it. And you're like, OK, that means it's three times faster than what? Three times faster than what? My granny on a skateboard. There's no context. There's no context. Is it three times faster? Well, he just said three times faster, didn't he? He wasn't particularly talking about hardware at that point. In which one? All of them? By comparison to what? And what's the impact of the fact that the RAM is only 25% of what it could be originally? What impact does that have on it? So I don't know what they mean by three times faster. An independent verification, Apple, really? Timmy said, you're supposed to believe, Simon. Just drink the Kool-Aid. You've checked it on Roaring Apps. Yeah, that's the link that I sent. In your circumstances, if you didn't want to move off the version you had, you're probably best staying where you are. Another alternative, depending on what it is you do with it and how often you do it, is potentially you could create a VM with a copy of your current High Sierra setup in there. If you made an image of your High Sierra setup and then you could restore it into Parallels as a VM, then you could keep that, and then whatever you were actually on, you could potentially run that. I mean, don't quote me on it, you'd have to try it, but you could try it as you are now and then see how it goes. I mean, I've been like you. There's been applications I have literally not wanted to let go. I mean, not as significant to a workflow as Lightroom would be. One that I had was a little icon tool. And it just did the job. Instead of opening up a million other apps to do the job, this tiny little free app just did the job. The version I had was the very latest and it was dated 2006. The fact that that still ran up to Mojave was nothing short of miraculous. But obviously, at the point of Catalina, it stops working because it's 32-bit. And it's still annoying now. Because what I used to be able to do with just drag, drop, drag it back, done. Now is like a round trip through four apps. And this is what I'm saying about it getting more complicated, more fragmented. More I have to think about it, more I have to make decisions. And the more complicated the workflow gets. When, do you know what, guys? 2012, it was simple. Particularly like the iBook. The iBook has in it Keynote file, video files, audio files. It's amazing. Drag drop. There were quizzes in there. There was interactive images in there. That app is no longer available for purchase. If you already have it, you can install it, is the rule, I do believe. But the point is, they've switching that over to Pages. But the functionality isn't there yet. I've done the thing of taking a book from iBooks and opening it up in Pages. There's a folder of all the stuff that doesn't work, and I swear it's 50% of the book. They're obviously in that transition phase, like they were with Final Cut. We'll just rip all the features out and put something out that, you know, Noddy would be proud of, and then we'll add the features back over the coming years. But that was like 5 years ago. Are we there yet? That's such a long time for a workflow. Could you keep the original one on your original hardware and work with that while that's working, and you wait for them to do that? Because what the related problem to that is, let's say for Final Cut, yes, you could. But in the meanwhile, other applications are stopping support for the OS that you're on to keep this version of whatever running. It is a nightmare now. They seem more than happy to ship half a product. They are even more happy, it seems to give them some kind of twisted glee, to release a version and say, it's the shiny new version. We've rebuilt it from the bottom up. And you're like, yeah, 5% of it you have. Where's the rest? Evernote have just done that. The stuff they've ripped out is all the productivity stuff. So I have an audio file in there, and I used to be able to record into it, play the audio there. Now I can tantalisingly see the audio file, but if you want to listen to it, yeah, you're going to have to download that. While they're doing that and claiming, you know, we've now got a new agile platform, and when we'll be able to, we'll be able to build so much, we'll be able to build faster and innovate more. And I'm looking at this shell of what Evernote used to be, thinking, really? And then I look at something like Roam. Now, I know Roam is expensive and it's a bit niche. But, you know, they've put out like a 0.0001 update this week and just casually thrown in, it now supports inline audio. And I'm like, wow, it's a text editor, for God's sake. And they've added the ability to play audio. And to them, that's just like, oh, yeah, we threw that in as an extra. Can you imagine what will happen when Evernote bring it back? Oh, guess what? We've got a fantastic new update. You can listen to audio now. And everyone else is like, yeah, we've moved on. We're in Rome. But thanks for that. I can't really understand it. I know it's something they have to do, but they should do that alongside a version that's got all of the features. And when there is at least, say, 80% parity, then release it. But don't release something that's just a joke. But everybody seems to be doing it. Right, let's have a look. You'd like to see some more real world results. I'd like to actually see somebody, and it will probably happen, it'll go on YouTube, somebody who has got some Apple Silicon, who actually, not bench tests particularly, I mean, people will do bench tests, but I'd love to see them put like an equivalent machine side by side and do something like rendering video or something like that. The things that they're claiming are like amazing, because I'm thinking, no, there's going to be a difference. So I would love them to do that. That would be brilliant. Somebody will, because it's views on YouTube. So it's as simple as that. Firefox has just crashed again. I wasn't even in Firefox this time. This machine is so borked. So borked. Right, what was I looking at here? Given the size of the base SSD, exorbitant price to upgrade, there's a need for a slim. That's exactly the point, Tracy. Back in the day, there wasn't an option to have a bigger hard drive. I think the hard drive on my first Mac was about 256. 256, I think it was. And it was a spinning disk, obviously. I'm thinking if it was smaller than that, it would have been 128, and that would have been a bit small. So I think it was 256. I can't remember if that was the base model or whether I'd changed it. And my guess would be it would be the base model. But every meg counted back then, even though it was far more stable with external drives. But I think it's a matter of just personal preference. I don't want all this detritus on my hard drive. Every time I install an app, so whatever. Why don't we all go to our apps folder? Because mine's going to be absolutely huge, isn't it? And do a command A, and then what are you doing now? Command A. No, I don't want a slideshow. Where's my info? It's gone to iCloud, not the applications folder, crying out loud. Not this right yet. Okay. I'm going to let it calculate what disk space is being taken up by the apps, because you, down the line you can say you can double that, which plays into, if you're buying an Intel Mac with a view for 3 years, you may well have to fork out for a 2 terabyte, which I think is £460 more, which is obscene. It's calculating. I'll let you know when it's finished. Flops per watt. Or nits per light. Whatever. It's not accurate. It's, I felt that session they did was quite bizarre. It was very high level in terms of, I mean, I don't mean high level above us guys. I mean high level by comparison to a muggle that's like, what's a nit? So it focused on, we've got 4 of these and 5 of those internals and this thing and that thing, and very technical. But then when it came to the, it's 3 times faster, all of a sudden it was smoke and mirrors. 3 times faster than what? You can't look at, say, a Puma and say it's 3 times faster than what? A domestic cat or a rocking chair? Because it makes a difference. It's you're quoting something with zero context. But if you think about it, the muggles will be, I'll buy that one because it's 3 times faster. Whereas you guys would be like, faster than the one I've got, or faster than something that Timmy's dug out of a cupboard from 1906. But people fall for it. A measure of efficiency rather than speed. Did they not mention the word speed? Because I think if you say it's 3 times faster, I think it would be legitimate for somebody to believe that you mean speed and not efficiency. And I certainly can't be efficient with the absolutely terrible problems I'm having with the software. Tracy's got a VM for Windows 7 and another for Windows 10. They take up 40%. Well, they can run external. What machine are you trying to run them on? Is it an iMac? Is it a laptop? Because I know Mike's done that, and I've had to do that with VMs. The VMs, I think my VM's about 45 gig. It's a Windows 10. There's not much on it. I think Office is on it, Scrivener's on it, Text Editor's on it. The absolute basics, basically. The Affinity apps are on it. But you can run those externally. So what you could do, depending on the machine it is, the fastest way probably will be to get, I mean, you could do this internally depending on which it is. I know somebody, you remember the old MacBook Airs? I think it was the 13 inch, and they had a card slot on the side for reading SSDs, not SSDs, SD cards from your cameras. The one on the back of the iMac's a complete joke. Who can get to the back of an iMac for that? And the one on the side was just as much. The number of camera cards that got pushed into the CD slot. Oh, that was a standard repair, that one. I covered mine with a very small, thin strip of duct tape, and the duct tape was grey, just like the machine, and it stopped me putting anything in there. Because the other thing was, if you got your CD stuck, that wasn't coming out either. That was a major repair. But what you could do, depending on the machine, is get a card reader and something like a 64 or 128 gig SD card and run it off that, because that's quite fast and it's small and you can, it's portable, take it with you, and you would be able to use the same VM on multiple machines. And with it being a VM, don't think you'd notice that much difference in terms of performance. Jonathan was doing that, wasn't he? His VMs are on a pen drive. His problem was he kept leaving the pen drive at work. So we said to him, attach it to your car keys and then you won't. This was in the halcyon days when Jonathan was going to work. He doesn't leave it at work anymore. It's one of the benefits of COVID. But yeah, you can run it external off something really tiny. I mean, you could do it off a USB stick, but you could also do it off an SD. You may end up having to bite the Adobe subscription bullet. Oh, no. Well, there is the photography plan, which is the cheapest. I believe that is $10 a month. But pro tip, they do run a Black Friday deal. And with the Black Friday deal, the discount wouldn't just be on the first month. It would be on all of them. Creative Cloud plans. Let's have a laugh. I'm grandfathered on something. Don't ask me what. I've no idea. I think I saved £30 a month at one point. I don't know. Right, Creative Cloud pricing plans. Read them and weep. $9.99 a month inclusive of VAT. Now, that's UK prices. The Black Friday special ends on the 27th of November and it's actually $39.99 a month for everything. That would depend on if you had a need for everything. In the photography plan, you don't just get Lightroom, you get Photoshop as well. That's a bit weird. These are the same price, so why are they two different ones? Right, you'd need the photography plan for what you're after, because there's another one called the Lightroom plan. Don't go for that. That doesn't include Lightroom Classic. So the photography plan includes Photoshop Lightroom, Lightroom Classic, Photoshop, Photoshop on the iPad, Spark, and Portfolio. Now, interestingly, it does not mention there Adobe Bridge, but it also includes Adobe Bridge. So don't be fooled. It includes Adobe Bridge as well. Or it used to. Now, I think Adobe Bridge, is that now totally free? Is that why they're not mentioning it's included? But if you look at this, there must be some weirdness going on. Because the plan on the left-hand side of that, the photography plan, where you get... Ah, I see the difference. You get 20 gig of free storage in the cloud. The one on the right gives you a terabyte of storage in the cloud. That's the difference. But if you want Lightroom Classic, that's not included in the one on the right. I mean, that's just, oh, honest to God. This is the kind of thing I mean. There are two plans there. One says photography, one says Lightroom. Would we not be logical if we assume the Lightroom plan actually included Lightroom? You know, the Lightroom Classic, as well as Lightroom in the cloud. Because I don't know about you, I don't fancy particularly want to put all my stuff in the cloud, not with Lightroom. It's you need to take time to look at this or you will make a mistake. Same thing happened last year with Mike. He was looking for, he had a paid for one-off price thing of Parallels, and then it needed to go subscription, and he's looking at it, and I agreed with him, but for the fact that I was grandfathered on something that I think he ended up paying, I think you pay annually, and I think he ended up paying £80 and mine was 26 and it still is, it's ridiculous. But the thing was, he was looking at it and you couldn't really tell a difference between these two things. So he said, oh, well, it'll be that one there. And he subscribes to it and then realises it's the wrong one and he has to get onto them the next day. Now, fair due to them, they did fix it. But it shouldn't be that complicated that somebody who knows what they're doing, Mike can hardly claim to be a beginner in all this, makes a mistake because everything's just so obtuse on the screen. I don't understand it. I think you should make these things as simple as possible to buy. Maybe for your $9.98 a month. Well, it would just make sense to me that the Lightroom plan on the right, why don't you just charge more? You're assuming on that perspective that people don't want Photoshop and Lightroom Classic, because those are the two things that are missing. Why don't you just make that plan $14.99 a month? And that way people have got the choice of having Photoshop or not and the extra storage. Win-win. They get 50% more money. It doesn't cost them anything extra. But no, they have to make it complicated, don't they? I've got it, but it's historic, Tracy. So it's €12.09 for the plan you need. I didn't know with Bridge. I would still put Bridge in there as a feature. I guess that's what they're using to try and get people on board with the Creative Cloud thing. I just can't wait until Affinity come out with their asset manager. They've already confirmed they're doing one, but they haven't actually got Publisher on an iPad yet. So I can't help thinking that any asset management app would come after they've got Publisher on an iPad, which would make sense now we're into Q4. Whenever they've done their iPad launches, it's been WWDC. So it could be June next year before we see Publisher on an iPad. Oh, Simon Bridges, fabulous. Bridges Asset Management. It's a bit like Lightroom for your photos. In terms of, it lets you view assets. Now, notice the difference between images and assets. It lets you view assets, including other file types. So in addition to your JPEGs, PNGs, RAW files, TIFF files, it will allow you to preview and manage InDesign files, Illustrator files, all the Adobe Suite files, and some files from elsewhere. So it's useful for cataloguing, organizing. I don't probably use it as much as I did because I have less need for organizing materials like that. But I had a job to do about 6 months ago, and I had all of these images, and there was like folders full of them. And I thought, well, you know, I don't really need to take them into Lightroom. They've already been edited. I just need to catalog them and make a pick. So out of this, like, probably about 600 photos, I needed to choose about 150. So what you can do in Bridges, point it at a folder on the hard drive and it will preview everything inside it. But it also then creates a meta file inside Bridge for that folder. So the next time you go to the folder, it doesn't need to like generate the thumbnails. They're already done and stored. And anything that you've put on top of that in terms of metadata. So this one's I've tagged with a red tag and that one's a 4-star image. All of that metadata is stored inside Bridge. So you can filter and sort and do all sorts. Bridge is amazing. Asset management. You don't use Lightroom either, Kelsey, the point of it. Oh, dear. I'm not going to persuade you, Emma Simon. It's just really for organisation that. Lightroom, the reason that I bought a Mac for Lightroom was I had a digital camera, Canon 30D, I think, at the time, DSLR. How else are you going to manage groups of files in terms of I go out and, you know, those are with it being digital, you know, you're only limited by your battery life and the size of your card. So I come back and I've got like, say, the beach soccer. I come back to the hotel after a day at the beach soccer and I've got 1,000 images. And I need to quickly be able to go through those images, make a pick. You know, that one's good, but it needs altering. That one, yes. That one, no. So I need the ability to look at them all, not exactly at once, but, you know, sequentially, quickly. I don't want to be in the Finder and press the space bar and like, oh, yeah, I'll use that one. Grabs a pen, writes down on a piece of paper, 111, I'll use that one. That's the alternative. So Bridge enables you to do all of that. And Lightroom even more so. Lightroom takes it a step further in that it doesn't support as many file types, but it does support all of your image file types. And again, there is a meta cache and you can put comments on your images. You can edit your images. You can create groups of images. You can create printed books. That's the point of it. It's for managing multiple files, not five you've taken on the beach at Clacton. It's the 1,000 that I come back with after a 6-hour shoot on the beach soccer, and I need tomorrow morning to take back with me probably about 50 or 60 that are the best of the best, that are edited and sorted. And the way to take 1,000 down to 60 and be able to edit them is Lightroom. It's really, I mean, the first time I saw it in use, other than me using it, yes, Aperture was Aperture had a very different way of organising its images, but that is what Aperture was for. The two were in competition head to head. There are photographers who will tell you that Aperture was way better. It's all in terms of how you actually accessed the images. I would agree interface wise. I find Lightroom a little bit quirky, but they do at least let you edit the interface in some to some degree or another. The first time I was using Bridge at this stage, and I was using Lightroom because it was August 2006. So I bought the Mac in the April, and this was August. And we goes down to Guildford for the premiere of a play with my favourite actor in it. And we shoots off down there a day early, and they're in rehearsals. So I actually get to meet him. I had to let him finish his lunch, which I did let him finish his lunch, and then I pounced. But because it was, this production was huge. It was like the kind of production that would go to somewhere like the Palace Theatre in Manchester. So there was like trucks upon trucks of stuff. Because it was so complex, I think there was about 14 in the cast, but they were all playing three or more characters. So it was a complicated thing. When they came to do the dress rehearsal run through, that was the only occasion that the photographer could come in, and it makes sense for him in a sequence. So he had obviously done that with the first dress rehearsal of that last day of rehearsals. So after I'd spoken to my favourite actor, we wanders upstairs for a drink. And there's the official photographer sitting there with his MacBook. And on it, he had Lightroom. Now, at that stage, it was only in beta. So I'm like looking over his shoulder thinking he's got a Mac there. And at the time, I was in the market for a Mac laptop and I didn't have one. So it's like, and he's got a laptop. So I'm kind of looking. And he said, do you want to have a look at them? And like, this was the pic. So I said, oh, please. I said, oh, you know, using Lightroom. How are you finding it, given it's still in beta? And he's like, whoa, you've heard of Lightroom? I'm like, oh, yeah. And gets talking to him. So he was already using it back then. So even though it was in beta, the fact that, you know, every now and then it crashed, it was still worth doing. So Tracy doesn't really need Photoshop, but she's looking forward to Affinity Digital Asset Management. I know. I can't wait for that. I'm wondering, I think they know they're doing it. They've announced they're doing it, but there's such expectation on it. There must be quite a pressure on them to get it right. I mean, they can't just look at Bridge and say, yeah, we'll make that. But the reason that it's so important that we do have that is where you've said Bridge shows practically any image files. It does. But what I find is there's so many cataloguing applications that don't recognise Affinity images. Just imagine the ability to have like an asset management app that did recognise and could preview all, including like nested pages in Publisher and nested artboards in Designer. That would be amazing. That's what makes me think it could be 2022 before we see that. Only because we still haven't seen Publisher. Publisher came out in beta 2 years ago in August, and it was released last June, so June 2019. So a year on, we still haven't got it on the iPad, which you'd think would be easier these days because Apple keep telling us, you know, design for the iPad, port it to the Mac. Thank God they built it for the Mac and ported it to iOS, or we'd all be sitting here trying to stab at the screen. Something very, very fundamental about Lightroom doesn't click with you. No, I can understand that, particularly if you've used Aperture, because it's really strange that two applications that in essence did the same job did it so differently. So I found Aperture quite strange when I went to it because I'd used Lightroom for so long. But you're not on your own, Simon. I have heard that many times, that people just, the way Lightroom worked, they don't like it. Don't like it. I did like it because I was not importing my images into it, into their catalogue. I was old enough and wise enough to know that way madness would lie somewhere down the line. So what I did was I referenced the images on external hard drives. So I had a catalogue for 2006, had a catalogue for 2007, but they were on the actual files themselves were on another drive, and they were organised where I would be able to find the image even if Lightroom went away, which was a good idea and remains to be a good idea. But yes, I can totally understand that. Everybody's waiting for this digital asset manager, aren't they? Oh, Tracy, that's a good point. When you least expect it. If they were going to make a surprise announcement this side of 2021, I would have expected it at that event, because there are other things that are coming out this week that sneak leaked at that event. The companies in question had given Apple the assets and stuff, and they made their way into that presentation before official announcements from the software vendors involved. One was Darkroom on iOS and the other was Pixelmator Pro. So I think if they were anywhere near having it ready, it would have made sense. I mean, they're in bed with Apple, aren't they? It would have made sense for them to include it. And since they didn't, I'm expecting something at WWDC or around that time, because obviously now it's not a live event. They tend to be shorter, so we don't know. But around that time anyway. Although you'd have to say, you know, development this year has been hit. It took, look at the state of Evernote. Evernote wanted to go for a release when they did, but they were badly hit by the COVID thing when people went to home working. They struggled with that. A lot of companies didn't, but they did. Hence, what we've got is like about 10% of what it should be. But hopefully we'll see it next year or sometimes. Yes, when you least expect it, that's exactly when it will appear. Pretty much like the next MacBytes. Jonathan's gone though, hasn't he? So I could mention the next MacBytes, but that would just be cruel. Well, we're on holiday soon, so I think it's safe to say there'll probably be one before Christmas. As long as I don't mention which Christmas, I'll be fine. There you go. So it's all in asset management today, and all in software, and all in things that should work and don't work. But never mind, he's still on his webinar. Do you know, I didn't check is if it's an hour or an hour and a half. Let's have a check. Oh, hang on, that's tomorrow. Just thinking, what do you mean, 9:30? Oh, good grief, it was a long one. It was an hour 45 minutes, so we'll be in there for hours yet. So I will have to say goodnight from him. So for the moment, it is goodnight from me, and I will say goodnight from Mike. Oh, and just for a laugh, you know, I said I'd calculate my applications and then double it. It's still calculating the size. Update on that tomorrow. But for the moment, good night from me. Good night from Mike. We'll both see you next time, and stay safe, guys.